How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Kato's Corner Sports Talk, episode 2 here. Been away for a little while, but it's time to get back to business. A lot to talk about today. USA Women's and Men's National Team Soccer. A lot of news to cover in the NBA, and we're going to talk about Yankees baseball. They've been hot. We're going to talk about the All-Star Game and the MLB, the build-up for that, and the Home Run Derby. And then I'm going to give you some mid-season predictions about where I think the season's headed. And before I start, I just want to give a quick shout-out to Brandon Clark and Sean McFagan driving home from playing some summer ball down in Virginia. Two of my good friends from school. Really cool to, you know, to hear from you guys today, and I'm looking forward to you guys listening to this podcast. So let's just dive right into it. The U.S. Women's National Team plays tomorrow in the World Cup Final at 11 o'clock. They take on the Netherlands. This is the third straight U.S. final that we've seen them playing here in the World Cup. It's a pretty big deal, I would say, especially for the United States, as you know, women's soccer is a staple in our nation. It's something that's really exciting to look forward to. They haven't lost a game yet. They're taking on the Netherlands, as I said. The Netherlands beat Sweden the other day. We beat England 2-1 to move into the final. Goals by Kristen Press and Alex Morgan sent us through to the final. We're going to talk about Alex Morgan really quick. 6 goals in 5 games in the tournament. 5 of those goals came in the first game of the group stage against Thailand. You know, she's in the running for Golden Boot for the tournament, top scorer. And, you know, a lot of people talk about Alex Morgan as being that, you know, that head leader of this squad, being, you know, on this is her third World Cup. You know, she came in at a young age with the team that lost to Japan, and I think that this is something that is important for the United States to have her on the squad, but I feel like she's kind of underperformed, especially in this tournament. As I said, she does have 6 goals in 5 games, 5 of which came against Thailand, who were not really a team that deserved to even share the field with the United States. I think that, you know, she's got a lot of ground to make up, especially in this final. Her goal against England was exceptional. I was really excited to see her, you know, get on the score sheet and score and, you know, do what she's supposed to do. But I'm hoping that in this final, she could really make her presence felt and, you know, knock one in for the United States and maybe get us a win. Kristen Press, for me, was the player of the match. Definitely the player of the match against England. She caused a lot of problems on the wing, scored a big goal. And, you know, she had some big shoes to fill playing in that spot. Megan Rapinoe did not play. She's kind of been the influential leader. She's been on a couple World Cup squads. She knows what it takes to win. I'm really interested to see if she will play tomorrow in the final. Players like her and Carly Lloyd, you know, getting up there in age, kind of, you know, have been the veterans of this team. We've seen Carly Lloyd kind of take a back seat this season in the World Cup, kind of, you know, being just a more of a vocal leader rather than a leader on the field, only really playing as a sub. So it's interesting to see what the women's team will do tomorrow. I'm looking forward to watching that game, and hopefully we could see the U.S., you know, repeat as World Cup champions. I think it's more than likely. I think that their biggest test was England, and they handled it. It was a nail biter, but, you know, a win's a win. And I'm very excited to see if they could, you know, lift that trophy again one more time tomorrow. So moving on to the men's national team, they're also in a final. They're playing Mexico in the Gold Cup final. And the U.S. men's national team has been, you know, on a pretty good tear lately. They've have not lost yet in the Gold Cup. They've scored 14 goals, only given up one. The one goal came in a 3-1 win against Jamaica. And they've looked pretty good themselves. Christian Pulisic, 20 years old, you know, kind of taking the bull by the horns there, leading this team, being the guy. And I think he's exactly what the United States needs moving forward, being that young star, that young talent that could, you know, make the push for them to be good again. It was tough to see them not make the World Cup. And I think that a guy like him took that to heart. And, you know, he really did jump on this Gold Cup and took initiative to be the guy. And I'm really excited to see if they could, you know, pull this off. Their last meeting with Mexico was a friendly on September 11th. They actually won 1-0. Tyler Adams scored the only goal of the game. He is not with the squad, so they're going to be looking for other guys to get involved. Maybe some veterans like Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley to make some noise. But hopefully this United States squad could stay hot and get a win, win this tournament, and, you know, shed some light on maybe a bright future heading into the next World Cup window. They have a ton of young talent that they could look to, you know, take advantage of if they do qualify for the tournament, which I think winning this tournament should push them to being back where they belong. And if they don't win, it's basically you're asking the question of where do you go from here now? Who do you look to blame? Who do you point the finger at? And I think that this United States team has what it takes to take down Mexico. And this is, you know, the ray of hope, the ray of light that they need in order to make that step and being back where they need to be and being on the big World Cup stage when it comes along in the next summer or so. But moving on into the NBA, the last time I was on, the Raptors had won their first NBA title, taking down the Golden State Warriors dynasty, stopping the three-peat, Kawhi Leonard, finals MVP. You know, it was a really exciting thing to see, seeing Toronto get a championship. Bring a title to that franchise is something that's very, very good for the league. Very exciting to see, and it jumped right into the NBA draft. A lot's been going on in the league. The season just ended, and it feels like, you know, the NBA talk never stops. This was labeled the draft of Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson, probably the most talked about, most watched college basketball player to enter the draft. Probably the most watched player to enter the draft since LeBron James did. I think that he's going to be an exceptional player in this league. The first three picks of the draft were the big ones. Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and RJ Barrett. I can't wait to see what those guys do. Ja Morant is not playing in Summer League from what I've heard, which I think is a little funny, a little interesting for me, but last night, you know, Zion Williamson made his debut, played 11 minutes for the Pelicans last night against the Knicks and RJ Barrett. I thought it was really cool to see those two guys square off against each other in their first taste of NBA action. Zion looked like himself, explosive, dunking at will, getting to the rim. Granted, he only played 11 minutes. A lot of people are wondering why it was only 11 minutes. I think it was probably his conditioning. The analysts had talked about it a lot too. They don't know if he's ready to play the 82 game season, how strenuous it is on the body for, you know, a college guy, especially at his size and his stature. It's going to be really interesting to see if he is capable of, you know, staying healthy and being a guy that could give you great, a lot of minutes on every night. And last night, you know, his play did not look bad, but it was more of the way he was moving. He looked tired. He didn't look ready. And I think, you know, him getting used to the league and getting his legs under him will be a lot. It'll be something big for him to do within the next coming weeks playing the summer league ball. RJ Barrett did not play good last night for the Knicks. Shot the ball very poorly. Took bad shots. A lot of contested threes. You know, forcing something that I wouldn't say is necessarily in his wheelhouse. Not his go-to. He's more effective running downhill, getting to the rim, playing, you know, being that big lefty guard that can get to the hoop. I think that needs to be his motive when he comes out next game for New York. But the promise for New York, I think, is a little higher. I think the team played pretty well collectively. They've got a lot of young talent, and granted, they did not do what they should have done in free agency. I think that the future could still be bright for this Knicks squad. You know, with the likes of Julius Randle, Alonzo Trier, Dennis Smith, Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, and now RJ Barrett. I think, you know, they've got a good core of six very good young stars. You keep those guys together in a couple years, maybe you land a free agent. You know, if this team could, you know, show that they could play, that they're missing one thing, I think that they could be a lot of fun to watch. And that's just going to come down to what the ownership does. They didn't offer Kevin Durant the max, which was a vital mistake. They didn't get Kyrie Irving. They didn't get any stars. You know, they had to waste their money somewhere else to fill that cap room. So hopefully, you know, within the next two seasons, they could show some promise, maybe not be great, but show some promise, show that they could be an exciting young team and, you know, maybe land, you know, a couple good picks and then make a stab at, you know, trying to get a star in there, try to get a star in the Garden to take on that responsibility of bringing a title to New York for the first time since 73. I think that's something that is a huge, huge motive for a lot of guys, but, you know, the money has to be right and that the time has to be right. And I think that, you know, this could be the dawn of something great for the New York Knicks, but only time will tell. Last bit about Summer League. Many people thought that this pick was possibly a mistake. They didn't see it coming. He was taking over guys that were probably a little higher ranked on the draft board than him. But Tyler Hero for the Miami Heat has been playing outstanding. He has been shooting the lights out. He's been balling out every game that he's played. And he's been very fun to watch, shooting at will, playing good defense, doing his job. And I'm excited to see that kid continue to grow and be a league player and play against real competition. You know, the Summer League, you've got a lot of guys proving themselves and trying to get their way into the league. Tyler Hero has done that, in my opinion, in two games. I think he's proved that him being a lottery pick was not a mistake. And I cannot wait to see him play against, you know, the likes of some of the stars in this league, especially being a two guard. I think he could be a very good scorer in the years down the road, but as of right now, he's doing exactly what people thought he wouldn't do. And like I said before, he's probably the best shooter in the draft. Very slept on, in my opinion, and he's been that guy since high school. Watching him play this year at Kentucky was a lot of fun, and like I said, I just can't wait to see another Coach Calipari product in the league doing what they do. I think he's going to be a very, very good piece for the Miami Heat. Late last night, Kawhi Leonard signed with the LA Clippers. There was tons of speculation about him going to the Lakers, possibly signing a big deal with Toronto. But Kawhi ultimately landed where he wants to be. He's in LA. He's playing in the Staples Center on the off nights from LeBron and AD. I think that this is a good move for him. The bench and the team is deep as is. They're going to be a pretty tough team to beat. And now they've also, you know, acquired Paul George through a trade. I think that was probably one of the best moves we've seen all offseason, especially for the Clippers. You get Kawhi Leonard, who's the best two-way player in the league, without a doubt, just won Finals MVP. And now you get Paul George, who's an outstanding on-ball defender, very great scorer, a guy that could give you 20, 22 a night. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for this team to watch this team play and to see them sharing the Staples Center with the Lakers. Having both of these teams be very good in one building is going to bring a lot of heat to that building when it comes time for those teams to square off. So, speaking of the Lakers, we're already aware that they have Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, a couple other pieces, but they just signed Boogie Cousins to a one-year deal. I think that's a great move for them. Granted, Boogie, out like the whole year with an injury, came back in the finals, wasn't what he should have been, didn't play very well, wasn't the guy that, you know, the Warriors necessarily needed him to be. He didn't look like he was in shape. He didn't look like he was ready to play. But I'm very, very excited to see him in LA, teaming up with Anthony Davis again, teaming up with LeBron, and he's going to be a pretty good piece for them, I think. That front court is going to be a tough one to handle with those three stars, and they've just signed Danny Green as well. So adding that shooter to the mix that LeBron loves to have, he's had on every successful team that he's played for, is going to be vital to them. I think that LA has made some very strong moves within the last couple hours, and this is going to be something that's, you know, going to be under a microscope to see how the Lakers are going to mesh, having such dominant big men. You know, LeBron James is going to have a target on him being in the Staples Center, playing on nights where, you know, the Finals MVP is playing in the same building as you every night. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Basketball in LA is what it should be. And I think it's time, you know, that this league has made the leap back to being pretty even. It's basically a two-star league at this point. So many teams have two stars or, you know, a star and a good extra players. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Brooklyn signed Kevin Durant and Kyrie. Granted, Kevin Durant probably won't play a minute this season. Signing with Brooklyn with the Achilles injury, he'll probably miss the whole season. Golden State signed D'Lo. D'Lo and Curry pairing up is going to be exciting to see. especially with Klay Thompson being out probably for a majority of the year with the ACL tear. I'm going to be excited to watch those two guys play together. But when Klay comes back, the big question mark is if they're going to keep D'Lo. They do a lot of the same stuff. Are they going to play three guards? Could they trade him for other pieces? Who knows what the move will be, but you know, it's been something that's been on, you know, a lot of people's minds since they've made that sign and trade deal with Durant and D'Lo, is what are they going to do with him once Klay comes back? It's going to be a big question mark, but seeing the league where it is right now is something that is very good for the league. It's going to bring balance back, and I think it's a very, very good move for them. Moving on to the MLB, really just going to talk about the Yankees real quick because they have been lights out. Yankees are 57-29 in their last, and in their last 10, they're 8-2. In particular, we're going to talk about the London series against the Red Sox. 29 runs in two games. They have just been mashing the ball. Every guy in the lineup's getting involved. Everybody's hitting. Everybody's doing well in the field. The pitching, granted, they gave up a lot of runs in the London series, but they've been pretty much on the mark. Gary Sanchez is playing like the best catcher in the league. Granted, defensively, he's not always what they want him to be, but at the plate, he's been great. Not the best batting average, hitting .249, but he's third in the league in home runs with 24 and ninth in the league in RBIs with 57. He's been playing very, very good baseball. They're finishing up a series with the Rays, and they've just been a lot of fun to watch. DJ LeMahieu proving to be the diamond in the rough for the Yankees. A great pickup for them. Torres playing great. And, you know, the pitching staff and the bullpen's getting the job done without Dellin Betances, without Luis Severino. It's been a lot of, you know, guys stepping up to the plate and doing their job. Moving on to All-Star selections, the Yankees are very, very well represented again. Gary Sanchez catching, DJ LeMahieu playing at second. Torres, his second season in the league, second All-Star appearance on the bench for the American League. And you've got Chapman in the bullpen for the AL as well. But the All-Star game is just so much fun because you get to see guys that you never get to see paired up, like Alex Bregman playing third from the Houston Astros for the American League, and Mike Trout. Like, seeing this kind of lineup is just so much fun. Mike Trout is crushing the ball this year, and to pair him with Gary Sanchez and LeMahieu and other guys, it's just so much fun. And the All-Star game means so much more in baseball. You know, they're playing for something. They're playing for that home field advantage. The National League, it's just as great with the likes of Javi Baez, the reigning MVP, Christian Yelich. You've got Pete Alonso starting off on the bench for the Mets at first base, and he's been outstanding this year as a rookie. Among the home run leaders in the National League, tied for third most all-time for a rookie with home runs before the All-Star break. He has been rolling, and you've got DeGrom in the bullpen. And it's great to see some Mets in the All-Star game. Being a New York sports fan, being a big Yankee guy, I'm not a Mets fan, but it's just tough to watch because, granted, they did take a game from the Yankees this past week. You know, the Mets have so much talent, so much to, you know, at their disposal, and they just can't get games won. Their bullpen is pretty rough to watch. You got guys like DeGrom and Syndergaard playing really, really well day in and day out and just not getting the help they need. It's very hard to watch, and it's very hard for me to, you know, to come to grips with, because these guys were just in the World Series a couple years ago, and now, you know, they're on the brink of being, you know, they're in third place in the NL, and they're not doing what they should be doing. Their potential is so much higher than this, and it's tough to watch. But, you know, every New York team, we've seen it in every sport basically. The Knicks and the Nets really haven't been great. The Nets weren't great until this year. The Giants and the Jets, same thing in the NFL, both teams not very great. So it's tough because, you know, there's always an outlier, but the Mets have, you know, basically picked that up, which is a shame to see because they were on top of the mountain just a couple years ago. But it's definitely, hopefully it's a movement in the right direction to see these guys be a little more competitive. But Yankee baseball is just outshining anything that anybody else in the league has been doing. their team is just so deep. Too many guys that are could be the best player on other teams are on this team. Some guys that could be great players on other teams aren't even playing. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch. Baseball this year has been very much colorful for Yankee fans. But moving on to more All-Star festivities, the Home Run Derby, which is one of my favorite things probably of the summer. The Home Run Derby is going to take place. A lot of big names in the Home Run Derby this year. The headliner would probably be Christian Yelich, reigning MVP. Guy started off the season hot. He was smoking home runs early. Didn't really slow down. He's been great. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is in there. Alex Bregman, Jock Peterson, Pete Alonso, Carlos Santana, Josh Bell, and Ronald Acuna Jr. in this tournament-style Home Run Derby that they've been doing for the last couple years. I'm really interested to see how these guys work out and how they, you know, how it all plays out. If I were to pick a winner, it's not quite, you know, an easy thing to do with the bracket style, guys going up one-on-one against each other. I'm going to say the obvious pick would be Yelich. Just his swing is a work of art. He's been hitting home runs all season. He's been very hot all year. I would say that he is the one guy that I would say, yes, could definitely take this. 100% should be the front runner. But not much of a sleeper pick, but my second pick to win this thing would be Pete Alonso. The guy's just been on a tear. Like I said, among the home run leaders in the NL, he's swinging it very well at the moment, and he's been a lot of fun to watch for those Mets fans. And I know that, you know, people have been keeping their eye on him. He's been very good this year, and I want to see him make some noise in this Home Run Derby. Now, moving into my mid-season predictions, we're going to see a lot of teams make the playoffs that are usually there. The Dodgers are the best team in the National League at the moment, record-wise. I don't see them making the run to the World Series, though. For me, I think the Yankees stay hot. They're only going to get healthier. Stanton's still out. You know, they've got guys out for the season, and they're still winning games at ease, really. I think the Yanks will be there for the American League and the World Series, and I think the Atlanta Braves are going to be the other team that we see take the NL to the World Series. They've been pretty good. They're 7-3 over their last 10, been playing very dominant baseball, hitting the ball well, good, you know, good bullpen, good team. I really think that they're going to be able to make a run into the next, you know, into the next couple years to be that team. The Braves were basically the team of the 90s, but, you know, seeing a Yankees-Braves World Series again would be something that would be pretty incredible for Yankees and Braves fans. But I think the New York Yankees basically have the AL sealed up. They're beating every big team. They're doing it in style. They're doing it with a lot of, you know, a lot of oomph, and they're crushing the ball. It's tough to beat them. It's tough to keep them off the scoreboard. But that will be it for this week. Do me a favor and actually check out my good friend Brandon Fowler's podcast as well, Inside 90 Feet. He's talking baseball, talking Braves baseball, and he's a real good friend of mine. He's just getting in the podcast game just like me. So go take a look at his stuff. He's very good, excellent pitcher on the mound over at school, great friend of mine, and I'm wishing him the best of luck. He just finished up his season down in Myrtle Beach as well for the summer, so it's definitely a good thing to hear that he's doing well and that he's in the podcast game as well. And hopefully I will hear from you guys. You guys will hear from me soon. I'm looking forward to getting back on here, and hopefully, you know, there's a lot more for me to talk about. If you guys have anything, shoot me some messages, leave me some feedback, and I'd be glad to have anybody on the show. So with that being said, have a great rest of your day, guys, and enjoy.